Art, let's start some topics. One more, and then we'll have more.
Telling Thompson.
Okay, Telling Thompson.
Telling Thompson. Art, start us out. Telling Thompson.
Thank you.
Now we'll play a tune that is very near and dear to a lot of Swedes as well as Norwegians. This is about the Aneid River that runs through both countries, and supposedly there's different stories on how it was actually written, but one of them has a guy that was in prison overlooking the Aneid River and how he longed to be by the Aneid River again. Anyway, this tune is called Nidelven.
Stilla vacker du är orge går och drömmer och henne jag hade så kär nu är det bara minner den gamla Bibro är ickens portal sammen vi sälar i stjärnja korall Nidelbon stilla och vacker du är orge går och drömmer landet i fjällen och fjällen är blå ligger ett sted jag har kär dit mina tankar och drömmar vill gå alltid jag är jag så när Nidelvån stilla och vacker du är år jag går och drömmer och henne jag hade så kär nu är det bara minner. Den gamla Bibro är lyckens portal. Sammen vi sälar i stjärnja korall. Nidelvån stilla och vacker du är orge går och drömmer. Stilla och vacker du är år jag går och drömmer och henne jag hade så kär nu är det bara minner den gamla Bibro är ickens portal sammen sälar i stjärnja korall Nidelvån stilla och vacker du är år jag går och
so we will start with a Norwegian dance called Rurus Pulse. It relates to this village because Rurus in Norway is also a copper mining town, also very small. So from Rurus. Thank you. Last summer, we learned dances from a Danish group that were here, and we are going to do a suite, Tusse Morgens Totur, Peter Waltz, Sexto from Brendelev, and Totur from Himmerlund, and the dancers will move on to the other. Danish dance set. It's so appropriate here. I found out that my son's Cub Scout leader, Bill Phillips, was the first baby born in or raised in this village. He was actually born in Seattle, but brought up here within a month or so. And his grandmother was Danish and taught Danish folk dancing right here. So that our world is so small. We have an incredible group of musicians. Don't go away. We'll start with the one standing. Deb Koshy on recorder. Donna Luce on guitar. You can do it all at once. Doreen Dwiggins, my sister, on guitar. Sarah Funk on fiddle. Chris Johansson on fiddle. And Art Nation on viola. And Art is a staple here. He actually was climbing and hiking through this area before there was even Howe Sound mining. So that's a real connection here, too. We are so fortunate. Amongst our dancers is a group called SUS, Dancers and Former Members of Nordiska. And we are going to do singing rounds, and at the end they will sing a bit, and then someone will demonstrate the dance that will go with it.
Da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da- la-di-da-di-da-di-da-do. La-di-da-di-da-da-di-do. La-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-do. Grannens barstue vet om kul av vårens står och luta. Grannens barstue vet om kul av vårens står och luta. Bättre ha en kock igen än över alldeles utan. Bättre ha en kock igen än över alldeles utan. Grannens barstue vet om kul av vårens står och luta. Grannens barstue vet om kul av vårens står och luta. Bättre ha en kock igen än över alldeles utan. Bättre ha en kock igen än över alldeles utan. Grannens barstue vet om kul av vårens står och luta. Grannens barstue vet om kul av vårens står och luta. Bättre ha en kock igen än över alldeles utan. Bättre ha en kock igen än över alldeles utan. Jag gick med ut i lunden grund och mötte mig ej pigers kym. Jag vill ju vara vännen min och följa mig med hem. Sjung farari, sjung farala, sjung farari, farala, lej. Och vi du vära vännen min och följa mig med hem. Och måtte dagar skulle du få svar när det är fråga morgon far. Och visa dig och viljan din som skulle bliva din. Sjung farari, sjung farala, sjung farari, farala, lej. Och visa dig av viljen din, så skulle jag bliva din. Och åtta dagar för gången var, där higgen sig en annan tar. En uppstadsbrev och till mig skrev, för Siki har sin vän. Sjung farari, sjung farala, sjung farari och farala, lej. En uppstadsbrev och till mig skrev, för Siki har sin vän.
For us to be dancing and singing at the same time, but Danelag, the Danish group in Seattle, when they first formed, had no musicians. They sang all their tunes for all their rehearsals and all their performances and sang as they danced the whole evening long. So we're kind of going back to an older tradition.
They were younger than we are.
We have a special treat for you tonight. Beverly Anderson has been explaining about costumes at the Scandia Midsummer Fest for many years now, and we're going to have her She will call out who she wants and tell you a little bit about the costume.
Okay. Please, could you join us out here? And Milt, these two fine gentlemen here both have costumes from Leksand, Sweden.
Art,
are you Rex?
Leksand.
He's wearing the Leksand great coat.
Vest.
Great guy wearing a great coat.
He's also wearing.
There you are. Have you got the vest on too?
Yep.
All right. There you are. These traditions in Dalarna go way, way back, and their costumes are dictated by the church calendar. What they wear, which stockings they wear, when, for the women, which apron they wear, what scarf. We stayed with a friend, and I said, how do you know what to wear? And she said, I don't know, I have to look in my prayer book. These are costumes that are still active traditions in Dalarna. Okay, you guys, take a bow, thanks. And I'm going to have Deb come up with her Swedish costume from the Bohuslän, the West Coast. Beautiful, beautiful. Now, it's all wool. She loves sitting here and playing in all wool with that cap, silk cap perched on her head. The area that her costume's from is famous for having those Viking runic carvings in the rocks and such. It's beautiful. And all those bright primary colors is very vibrant. Okay, I'm going to get another. More Swedes. Nola and Jan and Arne and I got any more Swedes. I've got Norrbotten. Okay. These two guys belong together. Actually, this guy and this lady belong together. They have costumes from Beren. And Arne's Vicky maid. Can we turn it around for a sec? Look at this swallowtail. Dovetail, they call it swallowtail or dovetail. Clean in here. Amazing. This all matches, all these seams and everything. And just a spectacular job. And also wool, lime, horsehair lining, and muslin, and all that sort of thing. And check out the Swedish shoes he's got on. That toe flap, traditional Swedish design. It keeps dirt and stuff from getting in where the laces lace up. Yeah. Jan's is from Beren. Hers, I don't know if I get the tradition right. This, she's got the crown. Crowd is meeting on here. There are women in this town defended the town all by themselves against the marauding Danes. We have pitchforks, yes. And the guys are all fighting a battle or earning bread someplace else. And because they were able to successfully defend the town, they were granted the privilege to wear the crown and this color too, I think, is part of it. No place else in Sweden, just the women of. Okay, more? Noah's wearing, it's called folk dret. It's folk clothing. Not costumes, clothing. It's active, it's not dress up for other than church or state occasions and such like that. She's got these wild stripes and this plaid. Yes, in fact, they do go together. The shirt's got pink and white embroidery in. Leather cap. If she had a cap on her head, it would be blue silk. Now, who decided this stuff goes together? I don't know. But it feels nice. And this is so finely woven that this is probably 40 years old, I bet. And you can still feel the lanolin in the wool. And it's heavy. And it's a great twirly. Would you give him a shot at it there? Yeah, isn't that something? Looks nice. Looks nice. Way, way up north. Norrbotten, getting close to Sami country and reindeers and all that, comes this weave. Joan is wearing Norrbotten. This isn't as full as some of the others. They're a little more frugal with their fabric. If you turn it all the way around, this is shearing across the tight. It's really tightly gathered. If she had something bigger to tightly gather across, you would see the function of that. In this neck of the woods up here. There's no artificial, they're all from the vegetables and the flowers that grow in the area. And he has more wool hooked up that he has. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I hit this, got all the
sweets.
Yeah, okay, I need some Norwegians now. How about Gudbrandsdal? Call you Gudbrandsdal, come on up. And Sarah too, yeah. These guys are wearing, in Norway, they're called bunad. It's the same thing as folk dress. Go ahead. And Donna, would you come on up with the roller? Vestal is from a coastal community. They didn't have a tradition of their own. There was this big national effort that happened a couple hundred years ago, even a couple hundred years ago, where let's make a costume from our town. And so committees would research what they had in their museums and old farmsteads, come up with samples that were representative of the time, and they'd come up with things that, that they thought were their statement. That's what they had. So they did have access to all these expensive fabrics coming in from Denmark and Paris because they could import. So they would import these braids, these ribbons, and just pile them on. Jane's is old because hers has a blue top matches the skirt. That means it was probably made in about, I don't know, 20s, 30s. The tradition is now that they buy brocades like Vicky's have and put that on the top. But that makes this a special because it's so old. And again, it looks wonderful. These costumes all, they cost a lot of money to make because the fabric has to be woven for each one. They have to lop it off a bolt. A lot of embroidery. A lot of handwork in there. This one is work in progress. People don't usually have these costumes. Somebody just gives them, you know, here it is, all complete with all the hardware. You start with pieces and you keep adding. Sometimes your whole life until yours is complete. So I wanted to show Donna, so this is work in progress here, but it's nice progress. So she has the skirt, she has this purse and the cap. What will happen as she acquires, she will eventually have bodice is made out of silk brocade. They have a kind of silver chain work going back and forth, and she will eventually have a shawl that matches the skirt. Okay, thanks. Mine is also Norwegian. It's from Hallingdal, kind of central Norway. It's fairly mountainous. This tradition is about 300 years old. It hasn't changed. From a little town called Ol. The girls get their bunad usually for confirmation, about 13, and they can wear them their entire life. They're made so that the seams are very generous in the fitted costumes. In the case of this one, she can wear it through marriage, pregnancy, you know, maybe for copies. It weighs about 17 pounds. And all these bright silvers that you see us ladies wearing here, they're called solia. They're given as usually gifts for important occasions, like confirmation, you get your first one with the neck button. When you're engaged, my husband gave you this solia, and a big old rock, he gave me this solia. And then we, when we're married, I have a neck button here for your special occasions. And it's not just garish, there's a reason for it. These laws in Norway, your property taxes were pretty high. They were taxed on your goods. You weren't taxed on personal items like clothing or jewelry. So if you can turn your wealth, your cashable wealth, into jewelry and wear it, it looks good and you're not taxed on it, and it's jewelry, you can melt down cash in if you have the need. That's a little assumption to it. This thing is also like Vicky's in that it has a special petticoat. And I'm not going to go to my phone. When it's raining outside, there. This is called a carriage skirt. And the lady's ready to go. This is okay to get wet. And layers and layers and layers. The lady in the winter or summer just piles another one on top. And piles another one on top. I guess they didn't know about Mitchamek and they were worried about it.
Turn around.
They don't wash, they just hang up, air out. And these traditions are largely still alive. Most of these towns hold them for special occasions, very, very national events, drag out all the bunad and folk draft. And we don't have representation of Finland or Denmark, but it's also the same in those countries.
Definitely.
Beverly, oh, Chris,
turn around so that they can see your hat and
oh,
the end
of
your
my hat. Yes. Now, what you do see all the time, young guys, old guys, they wear them. These aren't even considered bunad. These are working clothes. What Dylan and Chris have on, come out in the lay a little bit, guys. These are called busserol shirts. The tradition is they're made out of blue fabric with a thin white woven stripe through it. They're heavy material, they're comfy, they have no collars, just this little stand-up thing here. They're usually fairly long, and they're work shirts. Nowadays they get fancy, and once in a while they're made out of red or green or brown. But tradition is what they have on here, these blue and light striped Busserl shirts. Are they comfy? They're pretty comfortable to wear, aren't they? Yeah. Okay, thanks, guys. And if you have any questions on any of these costumes afterwards, we'll be real happy to answer questions or your family's got one and you want to know those ones. Absolutely. Thanks. What did I forget?
Ballard.
I forgot the Ballard Burnout. One of the things that these all come from tradition.
And that would definitely be a little bit older than the couple sang polska. We have hambo for you. Hambo was the dance of the day. It was what the immigrants brought with them. Many, many types of hambo from each little village or parish would have their type of hambo that was popular at an old dance hall like this. So we're going to do three versions from Fulinga, from Turinga, which is a hambo mixer, and then from Hälsingland.
Thank you.
living in Finland. At one time, about 25% of the population in Finland was Swedish. From them, we have this dance. It's called Ottoman Engel, an eight-person English dance, which is the first part. In the last third of the dance, the rhythm changes, and they do Hoijakka, which is definitely a Finnish circle dance. Now it's your turn. We're going to start with something really easy because all you have to do is walk. We have two leaders here, Johan and Milt. This tradition is based, it's called long dance, and it's what they did when they went around the Midsummer Pole. So you can see, you can watch what they're doing and come up. If you, all you have to do is walk and you come to the end of the line, it actually the leads to the left. So everyone, children, for children and all. This, the motto for Scandia is if you can walk, you can dance. Dylan. So.
You got the shirt.
Dylan.
Okay. If you ever go to a Midsummer Fest, then you'll already know a dance.